Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, for your Son has risen. We pray that you would guide our hearts and minds by your Spirit, remove distractions from them, and let us rest in the promises of your risen Son, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Thursday night, and the sun was setting, and many of you all gathered together with God's people to celebrate Maundy Thursday, that night where Jesus sat with his disciples in the middle of the Passover feast and put himself into the midst of that meal, washed the feet of his disciples. He would show them what it looks like for the Lord of all creation, the creator of the universe, to kneel down and wash the feet of his students, his disciples, to show them what it looked like for a leader to love, to care. He told them, this is the commandment I give you. Go love one another, take care of one another, be with one another, live life together with one another, so that everyone else around would know who you are as my disciples. Love one another. Those were his words that he gave them as they finished that meal, as the sun was setting, and they would sing a hymn and walk out into the dark, into the Garden of Gethsemane, and then hear the words of Judas betraying him with a kiss. Jesus being ushered off in the darkness of night that evening to bounce back and forth between Herod and Pilate and everyone else along the way as they would all try to figure out who this Son of God is, who this one is who is claiming to be the Messiah. Why was he speaking blasphemy? He needs to be beaten and flogged and scourged. And the darkness of the next day would come about, and the hours of the early morning would pass, and he would stand before Pilate, and Pilate would find nothing wrong with him, ask him what truth was, and then put him out to be judged by the masses as they would all yell, "Crucify him." All these places where Jesus promised to be, where his word throughout history had promised he would be, as the prophets Isaiah and all the others would point forward to this coming Messiah, and they would even, in amazing detail, lay out what the day would look like. Yet, in that moment, no one could quite understand it or picture it. Because, I mean, the Messiah wasn't supposed to die. The Messiah wasn't supposed to be judged. The Messiah was supposed to bring God's people back to their heights within the nations and to unify all of Israel once again, the northern kingdom and southern kingdom, and bring them together just like it was back in King David's day. But they didn't see that happening in Jesus. They decided that as dark as that day would be, it would get even darker, and the clouds would blot out the sun, and in the middle of those dark skies, our Lord would die in the afternoon before the Sabbath. He'd take his body down, lay it in a tomb. And there he would rest from Friday night to Saturday sundown, while everybody else was at home remembering the Sabbath, the disciples all in their own homes scattered to places, not necessarily together, but just anywhere they ended up, as they would rest within their own homes, wondering what it meant for their Lord, their teacher, their rabbi, to be dead, just as he had promised. Told them, what did it mean to no longer have him around? But the next day, early in the morning, when the sun had risen, doesn't that sound great in English? We sitting here after the resurrection say, oh man, that sounds just like he was saying the sun. You know, the sun had risen, but it was the sun had risen. When Mark wrote it, it didn't sound quite the same. That's the fun thing about English, though, is that we get to picture different stuff. But here these ladies go to the tomb, to the place where they expected to see Jesus, where they expected his body to be, because that's where he was laid. And the tomb's open, and Jesus isn't there. It's at this point that I think we get to ponder right along with those ladies pretty quick. How many times of life is you shown up somewhere expecting Jesus to be there? It really didn't feel like he was, and it didn't look like he was. I think we do this pretty often. I mean, you meet people in life, right? And we see folks all over the world that carry the name Christian, and we go to them and we wonder, is Jesus here? And then we find out that that person isn't Jesus, that person's a sinner, and maybe not a very good representation of one who cares for God's people, just like Jesus told us we're supposed to. Hard part two is when we may even look to ourselves and we say, is Jesus here? And then find out that we're doing things that are hurting others too. Realize that maybe we're not that good of a representation either, because we're just as much a sinner. Maybe it's within a family. Seems good for a while. And then all of a sudden, it seems hollow, empty, like Jesus isn't there. It's the hard part about life as sinners. Do stuff that isn't expected of God's people. We do stuff to one another. We do stuff to the world around. We speak in ways that just don't honor God all the time. And those are hard things to wrap our heads around. When we expect Jesus to be in the midst of everything we're doing, then we look at how we take care of things and find out maybe we're not that good a representation of Jesus all the time. And that's a hard fact. Here these ladies were going to where they expected Jesus to be, and well, he wasn't there. And they freaked out. We know this because the angel said, stop freaking out. Pretty much how it translates, right? Do not be alarmed. Yeah, right. Stop being afraid. Stop freaking out. He's going to be where he promised to be. And they went, what? He's supposed to be here. We're coming here to take care of him, to tend to his body, to honor him, to respect him, and to say what a good guy you were. Except he's not there. What a good guy he still is. I mean, here he is, where the sun had risen very early in the morning, and when the sun had risen, the Son of God, all man, all God, all wrapped up in one being, doing exactly what he said he was going to do, promising that he would be alive on the third day. And if you count those days, it's all inclusive. That's Thursday, that's Friday, that's Saturday, that's Sunday, that's all of them, all wrapped up and together. And because we just count time a little differently than the Jews did. But if you wrap all those together, you get 3 days from the day he was crucified to the day he rested to the day he rose. The sun had risen. Early in the morning, they went to the tomb. Imagine that walk to the tomb. Trying to figure out which one is going to roll the stone away. I mean, they're very practical, right? How are we going to get the stone out of the way so that we can take these spices in there and take care of Jesus and wrap him up? But the stone being rolled away, this young man sitting on the right side of the tomb, saying, I know who you're looking for. I know why you're looking for him here, too. He's not here. He's risen. He's gone to Galilee, just like he said he would. He's going to be present there, just like he said he would. And he'll see you there, just like he said he would. So go, tell, this part I like, go tell the disciples and Peter. This one who had denied Jesus, right? This one who 3 times had said, I don't know who the guy is. This angel's saying, all right, go tell all the disciples and make sure to tell Peter too. That his Lord is risen. That he's there. That he's going to talk to him. That he's got more words for him. And he's going to be where he promised to be. And see, this is what we have to wrap our heads around too. That sometimes we go seek Jesus in places where he isn't. Because we expect a lot of sinful people. Remember that we're forgiven sinners, and there are times in countless ways that God works through his broken and sinful creation to continue to get his word out there. But see, that's where he promises to be, is in his word. Jesus promises to be in the midst of his written word, in the middle of his preached word, in the middle of all the words that point to him. That's where he will always be. Promises to be in the promises of the waters of baptism for you. So that you would have something that you could point to and hold on to know that you are absolutely forgiven. Because that baptism ties you right back together to his crucifixion and resurrection and right back to his baptism. And it's in those actual real events of things that happen with God in time and place that we can point to say, yeah, the sun has risen. And he's risen for you. Because he is going to be where he promises. He's going to be in his word. He's going to be in the baptism. And then Jesus on that Maundy Thursday placed himself right into the middle of a meal for you. Right into the bread. Right into the wine. Right into those places so that when you would receive those in your hand, you would say, Jesus is in my hand. He's got the whole world in his hands, right? No, he's putting himself in your hand. Right there. So that you could hold on to your Lord and say, he is risen. And he's risen for me. He brings me forgiveness. And then he promises to be in the midst of his word and in the midst of this meal so that I would know on and on that he's mine. He did all this to make me his. And that he's coming back. Just as he said he would. Just like he rose and told all the disciples and Peter that he would be in Galilee and that's where they would see him. He says, I will be back. I'll come again. I'll come again and gather you unto myself. You don't even have to go seek him anywhere. He's just going to be there to gather all of his people all together and gather them unto himself. And in that day and in that place, all the harmful things, all the things where we sometimes expect to see Jesus and don't, those things will all be done away with, all the things that would separate us from our Lord. But no, gathered together would be all of his people. Love, caring for one another, seeing their Lord face to face. What a beautiful promise where our Lord will be present in and amongst his creation, having restored it. See, it's already redeemed in him. He's already bought back his creation. He's already made it his once again and bought it back from all of the corruption and the things that happened. But now we wait for that day where it's promised to be restored in perfectness. Even the people, all those people where we might expect to see Jesus and don't, all those forgiven sinners restored so that we live life together in peace and harmony in a way that we dream of. Sometimes see where God gathers his people together and we see those beautiful moments where things are just perfect. We want to hold on to them forever. Those moments will become forever because of our risen Lord. Because the Son is risen. Our Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done for us through your Son, that in his death and in his resurrection, we have life and a promise to hold on to know that he is coming again and it will be glorious. So we pray that when it feels like we can't see the sun, that you would keep our eyes focused on his accomplished work for us, knowing that all is accomplished in him. In his name we pray. Amen. I invite you to rise.